Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. With unanimous support from Council, the city will be moving forward with the development of a student housing strategy. According to the motion, the lack of coordinated student housing framework has increased pressure on the rental market, limiting the availability of long-term housing for families, seniors, and workers. A student housing strategy would support the development of purpose-built housing to ease this pressure, improve neighborhood stability, and provide greater certainty for land use, infrastructure planning, and alignment with post-secondary institutions. Nick Graham, board member of the Sydenham District Association, spoke before council on behalf of five neighborhood organizations representing Kingston's inner districts.
We have talked with many residents who are deeply worried about the erosion of established neighborhoods and the need to better provide accommodation for students. Permanent residents are particularly concerned about the studentification of downtown neighborhoods. Equally importantly, we have heard from student representatives expressing the urgent need for quality housing that is affordable, safe, and close to campus. Further, developers deserve clarity around the design and location of proposed student-focused housing projects that are critical to addressing Kingston's housing crisis. The status quo can only result in continued conversion of family neighborhoods into student neighborhoods, shortage of quality student housing for students living close to campus, reduced availability of affordable housing for Kingstonians, and degradation of property standards in affected neighborhoods. A student housing strategy will help address these problems, leading to improved student housing, protection of neighborhoods, and faster and lower risk opportunities for developers.
The motion was brought forward by Councillor Connie Glenn.
So I'm bringing this motion forward because student housing has become a citywide affordability issue. The students are facing challenges as well as the broader community. Let's face it, we are a post-secondary city when we look at the number of students that actually come here every year. The students are a vital part of the city, of the economy, the community, but also of our future. And the need for student housing has grown without a very clear, coordinated strategy, and we're feeling the impacts. Right now, we have one housing market that's trying to meet a very broad variety of housing needs. Students, seniors, families, affordable housing, social housing. We're trying to fill all kinds of gaps. It's like, you know, putting our fingers in the proverbial dam and hoping that we can stop this. But without clear direction, we've seen what the outcomes are. Studentification, rising community tension. We're talking about this on a regular basis. A loss of family neighborhoods, rising rents, poorer living conditions. A student housing strategy will help prevent those outcomes from continuing. Now, I want a moment to address the blame game that's often gone on around this issue. We've seen it, heard it, maybe even been a part of it. But students didn't create the housing shortage. Neighborhoods and institutions didn't cause the market pressures. This is a system issue, not a people problem. So the system needs to be addressed, and that's why a strategy is important.
Post-secondary students attending Queen's University, St. Lawrence College, and the Royal Military College make up 20% of Kingston's population. Other municipalities with significant post-secondary populations, including Toronto, Waterloo, and Niagara Region, have adopted student housing strategies or policies within their official plans to guide development, protect neighborhoods, and support housing affordability. Councillors expressed their agreement with the move, including Councillors Vincent Shinani and Don Amos, who both have significant student populations in their neighborhoods.
I'm surrounded with students where I live, pretty much. So like the line keeps moving closer and closer. So my street is the line now, and then it kind of spreads out a little bit. And I've heard from a lot of neighbors. They don't mind having student neighbors, but it's becoming where they're a house with, like, you know, at least 10 students or more. And then there's cars everywhere on the street, and And talking to a lot of these students is they couldn't find somewhere close to the university to live. So I think that this is an important plan to have. I think having this plan and strategy can really focus on where can we build for students and where is appropriate and where do the students want to be. And I think this is a really important plan, and I think it'll, in the long run, it'll guide our housing strategy in a better way.
This type of housing strategy is greatly needed, purposeful built. We've seen a number of the neighborhoods, specifically Polson Park, Calvin, and even the Village, have student pressures be brought upon it. And I think this is a good step in the direction.
According to the motion, the student housing strategy will include consideration of zoning tools, density permissions, and build form guidelines specific to student housing, strategies to establish partnerships with institutions and the private sector to reduce pressure on the traditional rental market and enhance overall housing affordability, measures to support neighborhood compatibility, safety, and infrastructure capacity, and alignment with the city's broader housing affordability and climate objectives. The motion also directs staff to develop a strategy which, quote, only regulates the use of land, not its residents. Councillor Gregory Ridge, while also supportive of the motion, noted that the city will have to proceed with caution, and the municipality will not be able to fully resolve the issues.
This meeting in general, like speaking about this motion, but also this meeting in general, has been very interesting because we have in many ways been hemming around this idea of people zoning, right, which is in violation of the Ontario Human Rights Code. And so we have to be very careful in our conversations about this and about notifications to communities about supportive housing. Like, these are all actually very similar in terms of what issue it is. And so while I am in support of this, I want to express that I think in our conversations about this, both this evening and in the future, that we have to be very careful about the language and the tact that we take with regards to this and other pieces. And so that's something that I'll be thinking about in the future, because students are representative here. And I think at the end of the day, if we're talking about economics, through your worship, we're all at the end result of financialization of the housing market, where people who are seeking profit because they own property are finding the best avenue forward for that, which happens to be higher turnover, which happens to be students. And that's what's driving this ultimately. And so I don't think a municipality in its entirety has a solution for this, but I think that we should try to address this however we can.
According to Councillor Glenn, Queen's University is also in the process of speaking with a consultant about what they can do to contribute. Glenn also noted her hope for a shift in attitude on this topic.
The call for a student housing strategy has garnered both broad and uncommon alignment. It's supported by 5 neighborhood associations, 5 out of 12. That's pretty good. We're almost at 50% of neighborhoods coming on board and saying, we want this. We've also got the support of Queen's University and student representatives. They're working together, and the great thing about it is they're holding hands, and when you're holding hands, you can't point fingers. So I think this is a huge step forward.
Staff will report back to Council in Q2 of 2026 with a proposed scope, including cost and estimated timing for the completion of a student housing strategy.
I think this is a positive step forward to addressing what has been a massive challenge in this city. I'm looking forward to seeing the official plan and having this accompany it in a way that will move us forward.
Council has unanimously approved a motion to pause parking enforcement during Remembrance Day ceremonies. The motion, brought forward by Councillor Ryan Boehm and seconded by Councillor Brandon Tozzo, directs staff to suspend all parking enforcement annually on November 11th between 10 a.m. and noon. The pause is intended to prevent parking tickets from discouraging or inconveniencing those gathering to observe the day. The motion notes the city's strong military history, making it especially important to remove barriers for residents attending ceremonies. Councillor Boehm explained the intent behind the motion.
We are a military city. This is something that we can do. After this past Remembrance Day, I've got numerous sort of notices of people who were 1 or 2 minutes late getting back to their vehicle and had a parking ticket from attending a ceremony. And it's kind of one of those frustrating things where I feel like this is something quite simple that we can do to just pause these tickets during that time frame to recognize the fact that the freedoms and the liberties we enjoy today and the sacrifices that were paid for them we definitely want to increase attendance at these ceremonies and make sure that people are not having this, you know, hassle or fear, and they're truly involved and engaged at those ceremonies and not worrying about, you know, running back through whatever conditions present themselves to try to avoid a, you know, 2 minute late parking ticket. So that's essentially the cusp of this, and I hope we can be unanimous on this.
The motion also specifies that the enforcement pause applies only to Remembrance Day and will not be extended to other events. This change will take effect beginning this year. Kingstonians who have not yet had a chance to explore the illuminated forest, say hi to KCFF mascot Conrad the Raccoon, lace up their skates, or toast some marshmallows yet this winter are in luck. The Downtown Kingston BIA has announced the extension of the Spirit of Winter Festival until the end of the month. While the second annual winter celebration set up in Springer Market Square was originally scheduled to end on February 16th, due to overwhelming popularity, the event will now run through February 28th. In an interview about the launch of the festival earlier this month, Downtown Kingston events manager Sandy Griffiths shared that the event's new addition this year, the Snow Dome Village, was especially popular, with spots selling out in record time.
But because we've had such a phenomenal response to the snow domes already, we are actually extending the whole festival through the end of February. So because some of the days for the snow domes have already sold out.
Visitors can reserve the heated dome set up by City Hall for a cozy hang and order treats and hot beverages from local downtown businesses. The success of the Snow Dome Village was a large contributing factor in the decision to extend the event. A portion of the proceeds from Snow Dome Village fund the BIA's Welcoming Streets program, which engages with individuals experiencing homelessness, addiction, and mental health difficulties, connecting them with essential resources and services. The revenue also helps sustain the BIA's free summer programming, including Kingston Buskers Rendezvous, Movies in the Square, and Salsa in the Square. Jan McDonald, the BIA's Director of Events, said in a recent release, quote, "We're absolutely delighted by the community's response to Spirit of Winter Enchanted. Extending the event not only gives more people a chance to experience the magic, but also amplifies our ability to support our outreach and events programming that strengthen our downtown community year-round," end quote. Once again, you can catch Spirit of Winter Enchanted until the end of the month in Springer Market Square. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, my name is Henry, and you're listening to Queen's Campus Beat, home of your Queen's Campus and student news here on CFRC 101.9. Starting off with off-campus life, rising rental costs continue to shape the Queen's student experience. A report from Zumper's Canadian Rent Report shows rents in Kingston have surged, making the city the fourth most expensive rental market in Canada. In response, Kingston City Council passed a motion on February 3, 2026, directing work on a student housing strategy aimed at expanding housing supply and improving conditions, particularly for university students. Councillor Connie Glenn underscored the students have been treated as full constituents in past planning, and that new zoning tools and partnerships will be essential to boost development. The university planning experts have pointed to opportunities on properties near campus, noting sites like Clergy Street and areas behind Stauffer Library could offer space for potential future residents. Earlier this week, Queens marked the launch of Black History and Futures Month, with an open house held on Monday, February 2nd at Robert Sutherland Hall to highlight equity, decolonization, and community engagement. In other campus events and news, across campus, student politics remain active. Petitions calling for the resignation of AMS President Jane Amer have been circulating, underscoring heightened engagement and scrutiny with student governments and accountability. In terms of new internal debate here on campus, this past week at Queen's, discussions surrounding the university's future have intensified following the release of several leaked consultant documents connected to Queen's bicentennial vision for 2041, a long-term strategic plan announced publicly on January 28, 2026. The leaked materials suggest structural recommendations, including focusing enrollment efforts in areas where Queen's sees national and global research impacts, integrating digital and AI capabilities into teaching, and potential realignment of programs. However, many faculty and students, particularly within the Faculty of Arts and Science, are alarmed. Reports indicate proposals could result in cuts amounting to around 3,500 ArtSci students and greater prioritization of science, engineering, and health disciplines. A parallel leaked plan even proposes establishing a fully virtual school, tentatively titled the School of Professional and Continuing Education, with an acronym provided SPACE, which would enroll up to 10,000 online students and offer micro-credentials and lifelong learning programs. This shift has sparked debate on campus, where some see digital expansions as innovative, while others warn it could dilute the traditional in-person university experience that Queen's is known for. The Union Gallery, inside of Queen's Stauffer Library, continues to host the exhibition The Black Experience through Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. This collaborative exhibit, organized by the Sunbeamin', the AMS Social Issues Committee, and the Yellow House Student Center for Equity and Inclusion, documents the Black student experience at Queen's through photography, text, and archival materials. It's open to all students and community members here on campus. Thank you for listening. I'm Henry Walker with your Queen's Campus Beat here on CFRC 101.9 FM or online at cfrc.ca.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, February 11th, daytime high of -1, so the warmest day we've had in a couple of weeks here in the city of Kingston. Feeling closer to -7 with the remnants of that 2 to 4 centimeters in the forecast for Wednesday evening. Thursday, February 12th, daytime high of -2, actually feeling slightly warmer at -1 with sunny conditions, dropping down to -16 overnight. Friday, February 13th, daytime high of -5, actually feeling right around zero in the sunshine. Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, daytime high of -2, feeling closer to -11, so if you've got somebody to snuggle up with, keep them warm. Sunday, February 15th, daytime high of -3, going to feel closer to -11. And then starting off next week, Monday, February 16th, daytime high of 1, but we've got cloudy and cool conditions. It's actually going to feel closer to -6 when all is said and done. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Kingston's overnight winter parking ban is in effect for the months of January and February, which prohibits any and all overnight street parking between the hours of 12 a.m. and 7 a.m. Restrictions will loosen on March 1st. From that point on, for the rest of March, overnight street parking is only banned if the weather conditions require it. And with no relevant road closures to report, that's it for your City of Kingston traffic report for this week.
Does pineapple belong on pizza? In case anyone is concerned about my opinion, I think that respectfully, it absolutely does not. But to each their own, I guess. What's up, everyone? It's your girl Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up on this segment, I've got K-Town's hottest concert and event calendars for the week, starting with events. For Wednesday, February 11th, what's your favorite board game? When I was little, I used to love playing checkers with my dad, but this past summer, I was a camp counselor, and the kids and I loved to play Uno. One thing about me and board games is I am not gonna hold back, regardless of who my opponent is. Anywho, board games at Something in the Water Brewing Company at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Sean McCullough will also be performing at the Cove Inn for Wings and Tunes at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. and Wednesday night karaoke at the Mansion at 9 o'clock p.m. On Thursday, February 12th, get ready for some high-energy Zumba at the Athletics and Recreation Center in Studio 4 at 12 o'clock p.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. No dance experience required. Looking to unwind and meet new people? drop by the weekly urban music social at The Loft at La Vida Bistro Bar and Social at 9:30 p.m. for urban, R&B, hip-hop, and soul music. Calling my beginner and seasoned artists to paint a loose and luminous forest at Michelle Reed Studio at 9 a.m. The class focuses on loose brushwork, technique, and developing your own style. All materials included, just bring a lunch. Daft Brewing will be hosting a drag bingo with prizes, drinks, and crazy times at 7 o'clock p.m. until 11 o'clock p.m. On Friday, February 13th, Slush Puppy Place is celebrating the launch of the new banana slush puppy flavor with a drone show at the Tragically Hip Way at 6:15 p.m. Afterwards, you know what to let them know. Watch the K-Town Fronts face the Kitchener Rangers at the Slush Puppy Place at 7:05 p.m. The Renaissance Supper Club is hosting the Golden Years Murder Mystery, a fully staged murder mystery performed around you. Stop by for a dinner you'll never forget at 6 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Bring your cowgirl hats for Friday night karaoke at The Buckle at 9 o'clock p.m. Saturday, February 14th is Queen's Observatory Open House, this time's theme, Magnificent Desolation, Lunar Exploration Past and Present, featuring Dr. Ron Vincent, Professor of Physics and Space Science, followed by a tour of the Queen's Observatory, where visitors will have the chance to view planets and or other celestial objects with provided telescopes. Join at Ellis Hall at 7 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Purchase tickets for Chinlock Wrestling, Love Hurts, a high-energy, family-friendly professional wrestling in support of Bryandale Transitional Housing, a local organization that has spent more than 40 years helping those who need it most. Love Hurts is more than wrestling. It's about showing up for our neighbors and proving that community care is strongest when it's shared. That's Chinlock Wrestling at 1300 Bath Road at 6 p.m. until 10:30 p.m. Sunday, February 15th is Family Ice Fishing Day at Elbow Lake Environmental Education Center at 10 o'clock a.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. Swing by the Memorial Center Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Center grounds at 9 o'clock a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. for fresh foods and to show your support to local vendors. Sunday means fun day at the museum. Drop in at the Great Lakes Museum for activities, crafts, and games anytime between 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Next up, our concerts calendar. On Wednesday, February 11th, K-Town is hosting Matt Anderson, a New Brunswick-born songwriter with over 33 million streams on Spotify and 30 million views on YouTube. Catch him at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. Nolan Hubbard will be playing at the Bank Gastro Bar at 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. and Christopher Jackson at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. If you're looking to enjoy some more jazz, on Thursday, February 12th, the Fusion Quartet, featuring Oscar Evans on bass, will be performing at Hotel Wolf Island in the historic Piano Lounge, 7:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. Chris Murphy, singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist, will be at the club at the RCHA performing originals and covers. Catch him live at 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And Original Thursdays with Christine Graves, a folk singer-songwriter from Ottawa, Ontario, at the Cove Inn at 5 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. On Friday, February 13th, stay safe and experience the Venice Baroque Orchestra, recognized as one of the premier ensembles in the world. This performance features Vivaldi, Tartini, Veracini, and Locatelli at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts at 7:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. And for my metalheads, don't worry, I haven't forgotten about you. Come out and support Exogen, Arachnia, Crown of Antlers at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. If you prefer authentic rock and roll, listen to the Lowery Band at the Lakeside Bar and Grill at 7 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Saturday, February 14th, wishing you all an early happy Valentine's Day. I know I've got plans, but do you? Looking for some unique date ideas? I've curated a few diverse options just for my listeners. If you're looking for something lighthearted, maybe this is a first date, your friend set you up, or this is a situationship and you need something to break the ice, enjoy an uncensored comedy show with Steve-O, the Crash and Burn Canada Tour, at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 7 o'clock p.m. If you're looking for something a little more physical or you missed your prom, come to Slow Dance 2026 with DJ Raf Riza, DJ LK, DJ Georgie, Jermaine Marshall at the Grad Club at 9 o'clock p.m. Formal dress is encouraged to set the mood, but not required. Photo booth will also be on site. If you're looking for something a little more intimate, may I suggest jazz? Join Andrew Scott for a Valentine's Day jazz set at Hotel Wolf Island at 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. And okay, work is busy and life gets in the way, I get it, of course. But you have no excuse, because I've got some Sunday Valentine's Day ideas. On February 15th, candlelight concerts are coming to K-Town. If you're looking for something a little more sophisticated, Candlelight, featuring Vivaldi's Four Seasons and more, will be at the Spire at 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. If that's not quite your thing and she prefers Trouble, or her birthday's in August, or you want to shake it off, I hope someone's getting the reference here, visit Candlelight, tribute to Taylor Swift, at the Spire at 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. If you're looking for some relaxing vibes and just want to hit the bar with some drinks and chats, Scott Owen is playing at the Brass Pub at 10 o'clock p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. No matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca and lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from me to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, happy Valentine's Day, and I'll catch you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.